The Columbia Workshop presents number 11 of 26 by Corwin.
Anne was an ordinary girl. A biodrama written and directed by Norman Corwin and starring Florence Robinson, Agnes Moorehead, and John McIntyre, with original music composed and conducted by Alexander Semler.
Let me tell you about the girl humming that tune. Her name is Ann Rutledge. A long time ago, she lived with her mother and father and seven brothers and sisters in a tavern in New Salem, Illinois. Her name is familiar to you because a great man fell in love with her and never got over it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known about her because she was an ordinary girl. A bit prettier than average, but still very much like a lot of girls you know yourself. Anne was not a phantom, or a legend, or a folk tune. She was a girl. She was happy, she was sad, angry, coy, gentle, wise. She had fears. It is these things that she was that our story is about. First of all, Anne Rutledge was a girl.
Mother.
Yes, Anne?
I have an important question to ask you.
Can it wait until we do the dishes?
Yes, I guess it can wait, all right.
Very well. What is it?
Well, don't laugh at me now.
Oh, come. Do you want to ask me or don't you?
Mother, what's it like to be in love?
What? Why, Anne, now, why should a thought like that be in your head at this hour of the morning?
Well, because I've been thinking about it all night.
You have?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, what conclusion did you reach?
None. I just couldn't sleep. I kept listening to the crickets and the frogs and the house creaking and... Did you know there's a screech owl down in the glen somewhere?
No.
Well, there is because I heard it. And I also heard Pa snoring.
Well, I heard that myself.
Toward morning, it got very still, and it seemed everything went to sleep, even the crickets and the frogs. All I could hear were leaves stirring faintly outside my window, very faintly. Oh, it's a beautiful sound, isn't it?
Yes.
And then I could hear my heart beating, slowly. So slow, I was afraid it would stop.
Maybe you shouldn't have eaten before you went to bed, Anne.
Oh, no, I felt fine, only I kept wondering how it must be to hear all those things when you're... Well, when you're in love. I mean, when a man's in love with
See,
you...
See, Anne, you're too young to be bothering your head with thoughts the likes of that.
Too young? I'm 17, ain't I? How old were you when you fell in love?
16.
Well, there. Mother, what's it like?
What you suppose it's like. Just what you imagine it's like.
If it's what I imagine, then it's like the way the leaves stirred all last night. And the little sounds kept coming from far away. Or it's like how the hay smelled down at Tuttle's farm just after they finished mowing last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or the way the sky looks on those clear, clear nights in winter. All bright and glowing and kind of pure, you know?
Yes, dear.
Like warm blankets and soft pillows when you're all snug in bed. And it's blowing a blizzard outside and there are icicles on the window. Oh, is it anything like that, Mother?
Yes, Anne. Sometimes. When it's unspoiled. That's the nice part of love.
The nice part?
Hmm.
Well... What can there be bad about being in love?
Oh, certain things. Certain things I hope you'll never find out about.
Mother?
Ann Rutledge was not a phantom, or a legend, or a folk tune. She was a girl, and she was happy.
Whoa there. Whoa. Do you mind my stopping?
Why should I mind?
Well, because I stopped just to look at you.
Well, then I do mind, John McNeil.
Well, it's so hard to see your eyes when I'm looking at the road. Anne, why, you're blushing.
Oh, I'm not blushing. It's just the heat of the day. I'm very warm, that's all.
Well, whatever it is, you're awful pretty.
Well, I'm glad you think so, John.
Anne, would you be angry if I kissed you?
Kissed me?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wouldn't be angry.
Oh.
John. John, you want to know something?
What?
That was the first time in my life I've ever been kissed.
You want to know something, Anne?
What?
Well, this is the second.
Anne Rutledge was a girl, and she was happy. And she was sad.
Good night, Stuart.
I must say, Abe Lincoln is a funny man. I swear I never did hear anybody tell stories the way he tells them.
He doesn't have to wet his whistle to do it either. He's a fine Christian gentleman, Mr. Lincoln.
Did you hear the one he told about the... Well, land sakes, Ann, what are you looking so glum about? Didn't you think that bear story of Lincoln's wasn't funny? Have you lost your sense of humor?
I didn't hear it, Father.
But you were sitting right there listening.
Please leave her alone, Henry. She's tired. She's all worn out.
Well, then why doesn't she go up and go to bed?
I'm all right now. Good night, Mother.
Good night, dear.
Good night, Father.
Good night, Anne.
Dear God, please bless Mother and Father and the children and John McNeil. Please make John change his mind and come back to New Salem as he promised me he would. Because I'm so lonely since he left. Dear God, make him come back to me. I love him so much. So very much.
Rutledge was a girl, happy and sad, and sometimes angry.
Easy there, easy. Now, he's bleeding bad.
Give him air. Give the poor man some air.
There's a nasty cut on his head here.
He's coming to. He'll be all right.
Well, now, is there anyone else cares to give an opinion about my drinking too much? If there is, just speak up, and I'll pile him in the corner with Williams and the rest of the wreckage. Maybe that'll teach you to let me and the boys drink in peace without no preaching.
as to how a gentleman should conduct himself in a tavern.
Now, listen here, Jack Armstrong. As proprietor of this tavern, I have a right to...
Take it easy, Rutledge. He's ugly.
Rutledge, you see what I just done to Williams?
Yes, and also what you've done to my good chair.
Well, I'll break another one over your head if you don't shut up.
Just because you could lick everybody in town, you don't have to bully and strut all over the place. Wish I were younger, Armstrong. I'd take you on.
Why, you bald-headed old coot, Rutledge, I'll take anybody on. Young and old together. I'll take them on in pairs, I will. Ain't a man in town's got guts enough to stand up to me. Is there? Huh. That's the right answer. Hey, Ma Rutledge, some more of this liquor and quick, or I'm a powerful, thirsty man.
Very well, Jack Armstrong. Drink yourself to death if you want to. Sooner the better for us.
Annie, what you doing?
Taking this whiskey away from you. You've made enough trouble for one night.
Anne, come away.
Just a minute, Annie McGill. Just a minute.
Oh, let go of me, you filthy pig.
Ah. Hey. That hurt.
I meant it to hurt.
You did, eh? Well, now look here now. Oh.
That hurt too, didn't it?
You wouldn't have done that if you was a man.
I wouldn't have had to if you were a man.
Oh, yes. Well... man would dare to stand up to me that away.
Oh, yes, there would.
All right, who? Name him.
Have you tried Abe Lincoln?
Ha! Lincoln. That long-legged, floppy-eared donkey of a store clerk.
I'd like to see you call him that to his face.
You would you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you come around tomorrow by the store, say, around the middle of the morning.
I'll be there, and it'll be a great pleasure to see them carry you out.
Yes, Anne Rutledge was a girl. She could be happy and sad and angry and gentle.
Aren't you getting too much sun on you, Mr. Lincoln?
Won't make much difference to a face like mine.
But the reflection of sunlight from the water, that can burn, too.
Never heard of the Sangamon River burning anybody.
Well, all right, but don't say I didn't warn you.
For anything concerning my looks, I'm afraid I'll have to take full responsibility.
Why, you're not bad-looking, Mr. Lincoln.
Light bother your eyes, Miss Rutledge?
No, I can see clearly. I like your looks.
Thank you. You're being very kind.
Well, aren't you going to say anything about mine?
I'm not very good at expressing myself on things I feel very deeply about.
You feel very deeply about my looks?
About you?
Oh.
I don't suppose I have any right to hope, but I do nevertheless. I hope that someday I might... perhaps be worthy of your affection.
Oh.
But in the meantime, though, I hope you'll just let me keep seeing you, that you'll let me take you for walks and sit with me again like this on the bank of the river. And...
Mr. Lincoln?
Yes?
How is your memory?
Why, all right, I guess.
Well, do you remember how you threw Jack Armstrong the time he came down to the store looking for a fight?
Yes?
How you got your arms around him and spun him head over heels?
Yes.
Well, why don't you try putting your arms around me? But leave out the spin.
Happy, yes. And sad, and angry, and gentle... and why?
Sister?
Yes, Peter?
Which do you think is the best? A soldier or a sailor?
I'm sure I haven't the faintest idea.
That's been puzzling me.
Very well. Now let me read, please.
Sister? Anne?
What?
Do sailors get seasick?
Can't you see I'm trying to read, Peter?
I only wanted to know. I was only asking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Peter. I was absorbed in what I was reading. What'd you want to know?
Do sailors get seasick?
Well, I shouldn't think so. Not good sailors, anyway. Why do you ask?
I was just wondering what I'd be when I grow up. A soldier or a sailor? I think I'll be a soldier.
Why?
So I can carry a gun and be brave. And all them nasty old Indians will run away when they see me coming.
Come over here, Peter. Have you been listening to old Dan Potter and his stories about what a hero he was fighting the Indians?
Indians aren't to be trusted, and they're no good nohow. Gosh, being dead's much worse than not having freedom.
I wouldn't be so sure. Everybody has to die sometime, and there's nothing they can do about it. But there's plenty a man can do about not being free.
Do sailors have to learn how to swim?
Pa, who's the stranger looking this way?
Oh, a salesman from New York. Name's Masson. Been in selling this week.
Don't like his look.
Oh, he's all right, but a little fresh sometimes. Maybe needs to be taken down a peg now and then. Be interesting to see the Clary Grove boys meet up with...
Ah, good evening, Mr. Rutledge.
evening, Mr. Masson.
Glad to see that you bring your wife to the party. This is your wife, isn't
it? Oh, yes, yes, excuse me. This is Charles Madsen, Mrs. Rutledge.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do?
Yes, sir, that's the spirit I like to see in old folks. Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, isn't that the girl I saw in the tavern the other day? Works for you, doesn't she?
Yes, that's my daughter, Anne.
Sure would like to meet her.
Oh, Anne?
Yes, Father?
Come here a minute.
What is it, Father?
Mr. Madsen here has expressed a desire to meet you. This is Charles Madsen, my daughter, Anne.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Can I have this dance with you, Miss Rutledge?
Well, I just...
Just this one.
Very well.
You're very easy on the eyes, Miss Rutledge. You know that?
It's so nice of you to tell me.
Yeah, in fact, you're the only halfway good-looking girl in here this neck of the woods.
What neck of the woods are you from, Mr. Madsen?
New York City, the center of everything.
Are there many half-wits there?
Oh, yeah, sure. Why, there are more... What'd you say?
Nothing very important.
You know, Miss Rutledge, or might I say Anne... Anne, you're too pretty to stay in this town. You ought to go to New York.
Why, Mr. Madsen.
Charlie.
What?
Call me Charlie, Anne.
How do you spell your last name?
Capital M-A-T-S-O-N.
Then why, Mr. Madsen?
Why what?
Why should I go to New York?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some life there. I don't know how it is you put up with the life here.
How do you put up with it?
Well, I don't. I'm just a salesman and don't stay in no place longer than a couple of days.
That's good.
you're a wise little girl, all right, Anne. How can a girl like you stand the boys around New Salem?
Oh, easily. With some practice.
But there's such a bunch of hayseeds and small-town yokels. No imagination.
Not smart like the Easterners.
That's right. Why, a girl of your good looks should never have to come to a dance with just her pa and ma. You ought to be escorted by a feller. Wouldn't happen that way as if you was in New York.
Does anything or anybody in New Salem meet with your approval?
Some of the old-timers, like your folks, are all right. Oh, they're fine, don't get me wrong. But the young fellas are a bunch of ninnies. Only real man I ever met among the younger crowd was a fella just got back from Vandalia, who's sitting in the legislature.
What's his name?
Lincoln. Abe Lincoln.
The name sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, I used to sell him a line of shoes in a store before he gave it up for debts.
Oh.
Old pals we were. Yeah, he used to call me Charlie.
Oh, really?
Oh, fine boy, Abe, but not your type.
Oh, is that so? Why?
Well, he's a book-learning fella. He's always got his nose stuck away in some book or another. Be a big lawyer someday, that boy. He's a studious type. He probably never took a girl out in his life. He's homely as sin, too.
Seems to me I heard he was a handsome man.
Handsome? Yeah, like a spindle-legged camel. Now, Anne, you'd like New York City. I can see that. You're just made for it. Yep.
So here you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Hello, Abe. I'm glad you're back.
Sorry I had to be gone so long, but when I... Oh, hello, Mr. Matson. Didn't see you.
Hi, hello, Lincoln. How are you? Thanks very much for the dance, Miss Rutledge. I gotta be going.
What's the matter with him?
Rutledge?
Yes, Doctor.
You'll have to keep Anne as quiet as possible. Don't let her get up for anything.
Is it serious, Doctor? Will she be a long time getting well?
Mrs. Rutledge, Anne isn't going to get well.
No.
Oh. You might as well know now.
How long, Doctor?
Might be 2 days. Might be 2 weeks. Oh, terribly. I'm sorry.
I'm going into her.
I've told you nothing now.
There. Do I look all right?
Yes. I'll wait here.
Anne, dear.
Yes, Mother.
Are you comfortable? Is everything all right?
I feel wretched, Mother.
Well, you're going to be all right. The doctor says so.
He says so?
Yes. You're going to be all right.
Do you believe him?
Why, of course, Anne. What a question.
Has Abe been here since yesterday?
He came last night, but you were asleep, and he didn't want to disturb you.
Even if I'm asleep, please wake me up when he comes, Mother.
Oh, no, not if you're asleep, dear. The doctor says you need all the rest.
Mother, I'll get enough rest, more than I need. Please, I want to see Abe when he comes.
Yes, yes, dear, of course.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't mean to sound cross.
I know. There. Yeah, lie back. Yes, that's it. Here, this will cool your brow.
See, I've got to talk to Abe because you know how I feel about him.
Yes.
I love him. And I've got to see him now or...
Or what?
Oh, never, Mother, never!
You mustn't talk so much, darling. Rest. Let me just look at you and wish hard.
Wish hard?
Wish so hard that nothing can stand up against me. Like a tornado blowing the sky right off its hinges. Then I'll wish away your fever. I'd wish...
Abe, what are you going to do when I'm gone?
When you're gone? What I do when I'm 80 is no concern to me right now.
Do you love me, Abe?
Why, Anne, I... God, heaven, and...
I know. You once told me that you weren't very good at expressing yourself on things that you feel deeply about.
That's it. I do love you, Anne.
Then go on and be the big man that I know you can be.
be a big man, and I'll never even be a little man without you. I'll be nothing.
Abraham Lincoln, I know you. I know you better than you know yourself. You'll grieve for me a bit, but you'll be all right after a while when you find out that grieving doesn't help. Abe, if it's at all possible for me to be near you after I'm gone, if in any way then I will come to you, Abe. I will.
Yes, darling, but you must...
When your mind is at peace, then you'll go back to your books and you'll learn more and more because you've always been hungry for learning. And you'll be great because you're just naturally made that way.
Please, Anne, you're tiring yourself. I don't want to be great. I just want you to be well again. Darling, never mind about me. You get some rest now. You're going to be all right. I'll stay right here by your side.
Yes. Oh, I am a bit tired.
That's right. Just rest now.
You won't leave me, will you?
No, dear. I won't leave you. I'll never leave you.
Good. Good.
Yes. Anne Rutledge was a girl. An ordinary girl. A bit prettier than average, but still very much like a lot of girls, you know. And when she died, all that was young and gay in Abe Lincoln died with her. And a sadness came into his eyes that never left him. There were many sorrows in his fitful life, and violence and tempest, and the terrible thunders of a nation torn apart. But never did those brooding eyes forget the little graveyard on the outskirts of New Salem and the tavern girl who rested there, Anne Rutledge.
You have been listening to Anne Was an Ordinary Girl, an original biodrama written and directed by Norman Corwin as number 11 in the Columbia Workshop cycle, 26 by Corwin, starring Florence Robinson in the title role, John McIntyre as Lincoln, and Agnes Moorhead as Mrs. Rutledge. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WBNS Columbus.